And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Throneberry, and I am not really your host today. I'm more of a facilitator, and we're going to be doing a special program about employer, DOD, Department of Defense operations, and how employers are supposedly keeping jobs open, I hope, for our veterans as they come back. And there's it's going to be a great program. Joining me in the studio, who's going to be our unofficial host today, is our good friend, Colonel Christine Cook. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about Christine. I want to reintroduce you to our host today. So, Christine, you're a colonel in
I work at the U.S. Army War College. I am in the distance education program as a faculty instructor.
And tell me a little bit about your background in the service. You've been in for a couple of years.
A couple of years, 26 and a half, not that I'm counting. I have 20 years plus in the National Guard, and then I switched over to the U.S. Army Reserve, and I am finishing my time out there.
Okay. I just a brief question. I know we want to do a program coming up in the future about women in combat, which has recently been okayed by the Pentagon, I guess.
Combat positions.
What does that mean to a career officer like yourself?
Well, basically, you know, for 26 years, I was not allowed to go into the infantry, the field artillery, the armor, and some combat aviation, which has finally opened up first, actually. The truth is that in wartime, we have been put into combat situations on many an occasion without getting the credit for it. And it also, up until this point, the senior, top senior leaders, such as the Chief of Staff of the Army and the Joint Chief of Staff, could not be anybody but someone from those combat arms branches.
Oh, okay.
So this actually opens up the potential for having a female Chief of Staff of the Army or CJCS.
That sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it'll be a while before you see
that. Yeah, I think it probably will. But you also did a tour overseas.
I did.
Were in Kuwait,
but I was supporting soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan at the time.
And what was your job over there?
I was a battalion commander, and I had a personnel battalion, and we basically created the reception staging and onward movement and integration for the soldiers, and then we helped them come back as well.
So luckily right now that job is probably working itself out of existence.
Pretty much, yeah. It's done by very few people nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So tell me a little bit about this program that you've got lined up for today.
Well, Colonel Cindy Norwood is actually one of my students at the War College, but she is a Judge Advocate General, and she has spent the majority of the recent years working with the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, and she is also very heavily involved in the employer support of the Guard and Reserve. So that's what she's going to be talking about today.
Okay, and that's what we're going to be talking about after we take a break, but I want to remind everybody that we've gone high tech here, folks. You can find Veterans Radio on Facebook, and you can also find us on Twitter. So if you would like to send us a tweet, I think is the proper terminology, then you can do that, and we would gladly appreciate that information. Also, you can spread the word about Veterans Radio. We're very excited to be able to use these social media, and we want to thank our assistants in the control room, Maria and Nina, for bringing Bob and I especially up to date, and so that we don't have to use that crank phone anymore, and we're pretty. it should be fun.
Isn't that a TA-312 or something? No, PRC-77.
Yeah, one of those radios, the type things. But you can do that. Also, during the program, if you'd like to get in on the action, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio, and that's 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Maybe you're an employer that has had a number of veterans that have gone off to battle and have come back, and you've been one of the ones that have preserved their jobs and so forth, because that's what we're going to be talking about when we come back. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and I'm going to turn the program over now to our guest host, Colonel Christine Cook.
And I'm going to try to see if Lieutenant Colonel Cindy Norwood is on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
Outstanding. How are you, ma'am?
I'm very good. I'm going to just explain to everybody who you are and what you do. You're a graduate of University of Texas, the Virginia Commonwealth University, and the University of Virginia School of Law. Cindy Norwood is also in her second year right now of the U.S. Army War College Distance Education Program. At the completion of her studies in July, she will have a Master's in Strategic Studies. She is a Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve and is also the Senior Assistant Attorney General for the Office of the Attorney General of Virginia. And she is the counsel of the Virginia Department of Veteran Services. Also, she has served, I guess, as an ombudsman for the DOD Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve since 2002, and she has served as the Ombudsman Director for the ESGR Virginia Committee since 2010. So, I think it's easier to understand Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve if we can get a couple of minutes in first on the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, which we fondly call USERRA because it's such a long term. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about USERRA, because I think it's a kind of misunderstood act.
Yes, ma'am. Basically, USERRA is the federal law that protects a service member's civilian employment. It basically provides the requirements that a military person has to adhere to in order to protect his or her service, and it also provides the requirements that employers are expected to follow regarding the federal law. I can quickly go through those, a very quick overview, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. Why don't you do that?
I will. And first, let's talk about what the service member has to do to protect his or her employment. The first thing that service members have to do is provide notice. When they know they're going to be on a military duty, let's say for their 2 weeks annual training, or they're about to have a 3 month school, or maybe even a 1 year or more deployment, they must give some kind of notice to their employer. It does not have to be in writing, though. It can be verbal or it can be written, obviously, though I suggest it be in writing. That's a better way to track that. So the only time you don't have to provide notice is if you cannot do so because of the requirements for the military, but that's going to be rare. So the second thing they have to do is they cannot be gone longer than 5 years on military duty, and that's cumulative. In other words, if you've worked with a company for 15 years, then you have to be careful because you may have 2 years the first 5 years and another 2 years in the next 5 years, and then the next time you're deployed or you have military service, you may bump up against that 5-year requirement, and that's one of the places where ESGR can really be helpful. But there are a lot of exceptions to that 5 years. A training is not a part of the 5 years. It doesn't count. Also, deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan don't count, that kind of thing. So again, that's where the expertise of Employer Support of Guard and Reserve can be very helpful to the service member as well as to the employer. The next requirement is that the service member must be released or discharged from active duty under honorable conditions. What does that mean? If they get an other than honorable discharge, a bad conduct, or a dishonorable discharge, then USERRA will not apply to them, will not protect them. The next thing that the service member must do is they must request reemployment within a certain amount of time, depending upon how long they've been gone on military service. If they're gone 30 days or less, then they have, from the time they get off of service, safe travel to their place of residence without major deviations, plus 8 hours, and then they start the next regularly scheduled pay period. What that means is if they get off of military duty at what we call 1700 or 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, then they would have the time they go from that duty to their residence plus 8 hours, and then they would start the next scheduled pay period. Let's say they normally start at midnight. What that would mean is they wouldn't start that midnight of Sunday. They would actually start the midnight on Monday, because that would be the next regular scheduled pay period after 8 hours plus safe travel. Okay, if they're gone 31 to 180 days, they have 14 days to request reemployment. If it's over 180 days, they have 90 days. And also, God forbid, if they are, in fact, disabled or aggravate a disability, a pre-existing disability, then they have up to 2 years, sometimes a little longer depending upon the situation, but usually it's about 2 years. So, and of course, the Act talks about that they have to apply. They really don't have to fill out anything. They can't be required to jump through a bunch of hoops, and so it really is just a request. So that's what the service member is required to do. Employers, very quickly, they have to timely reemploy. What does that mean? Usually approximately 2 weeks, but it depends on the situation. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but if it's over 2 weeks, I encourage the employers to really look at that, because the norm is 2 weeks. And then, again, if they call ESGR, we can help them figure out what is probably required of them. The next thing they have to do is they have to reemploy the service member into what's called the escalator position. Unless they're gone over 90 days, then it's the escalator position or one of similar seniority, status, and pay. The escalator position is the position they would have held had they never been gone, had the service member never been gone. Let's say that the service member was about to be coming up for an exam. If he or she had passed the exam, let's say in a police department, then that person would have become a police sergeant or some other type of promotion. Well, the employer actually has to, within a reasonable amount of time, provide that exam and provide any tools that were provided to other people for the person to be able to take the exam. And then if the person passes, then they will, in fact, get the promotion. So that's the escalator position. If it's similar seniority, status, and pay, seniority is usually pretty easy. Pay is relatively easy. A lot of employers have a problem with status. You can't provide a position that would have less of an upward mobility than the position they would have had they never been gone. Also, if they are in a location that's preferable, the service member can't be put in a location 40 miles away in a much worse situation. That kind of thing is what is involved with status. Now, again, we all pray that nothing ever happens to our guys and girls. There's no disabilities. But if there are, then the position would be the escalator position or one of similar seniority, status, and pay based on the accommodation that is required regarding the disability. So it's very similar to what would be required under the Americans with Disabilities Act, but it is not ADA. And so, again, ESGR can help with that. One thing that employers, please, all employers understand that when the person comes back, it's as though they've never been gone. Their insurance, there's no waiting period. There's no pre-existing condition issue. It's as though they've never been gone. And that includes if they had family members, same type of thing. I mean, in other words, the insurance for the family members. Any annual pay increases they would receive on a go-forward basis, if there was a seniority-based bonus, then they would receive that. Of course, pensions would be brought up to date, but there are a lot of issues involved with that, and that's sometimes that can be difficult. Again, employer support, a Guard and Reserve can help.
Okay, now a couple questions regarding what you just said. Number one, is every company part of the USERRA Act, or are there exceptions to people or companies that would fall under the Act?
Every company, that's one of the reasons that this particular act is one of the most far-reaching employment acts in the country. It doesn't matter how many people are in the country. It can be three people, and USERRA would apply. It doesn't matter if it's a foreign company. Let's say that you have a company that's actually based in Australia. Well, when they have personnel in the United States, they must comply with USERRA as well. So every single company that has people working in the United States, it applies to them. And if it's a United States company, if it's an American company, even if they're overseas, it applies to them.
Okay. And what about people who are semi-self-employed or consultants?
Unfortunately, if it's an independent contractor, no, USERRA would not apply. However, please understand that sometimes employers think that somebody's an independent contractor. They may even choose to call them independent contractors for other purposes. But in fact, by law, they would technically come, be an employee. So if there's ever any question of that, whether a service member has a question or an employer has a question, again, please call the ESGR 800 number. We can assist with that.
Okay, great. Now, it says, I've heard, or some people have heard, that USERRA applies only to non-career military personnel. Why don't you explain to us what non-career actually means?
Actually, the non-career issue has been bubbling up recently mainly because of the enormous amount of deployments that people have been subject to since 9/11. But if someone is in the military and they're basically jumping from one tour to another, sometimes that's what the nation needs, and that's not an issue. They are still considered non-career, and USERRA would apply. But then you have people that really want to constantly do military until they get a military an actual active duty retirement, or they may leave their employer and take out all of their pension money or whatever the situation is, or they may have some other kind of indication that they want to make the military their career as opposed to the civilian job being their career. And so at that point, USERRA would not apply to them. And, of course, it's very fact-based. And, again, ESGR can help people determine whether it's a service member or the employer, whether that might be about to happen. So sometimes we have to tell service members, hey, you may want to not take that next tour because you may end up being considered career.
Okay. Now, does it apply only to members of the Guard and Reserve?
No, ma'am, it does not. I mentioned the 5-year requirement. Let's say that somebody, some wonderful person out there decides, hey, I really want to do something for my country. I feel very strongly about this, and I want to go in for a 3-year, 4-year, up to 5 years tour. They can actually tell their employer, again, they have to provide notice, and they can even say, I would like to resign because I want to go in the military. As long as they tell the employer, I'm going on military duty, then if they're gone that 5 years or less, even if it's all active duty, and then they come back and request their reemployment within the proper amount of time, that which in that case, if it's 5 years, it would be they'd have 90 days to request reemployment, then USERRA will apply to them, and they will get their escalator or one of similar seniority status and pay. Position back.
Okay. That brings up another question, and that is the concept of involuntary versus voluntary. The involuntary people are the people who their unit has suddenly been called up. Guess what? You're deploying. Voluntary people are the ones who find out that a unit is deploying and say, hey, I'd like to get involved with that unit and their work. So if they volunteer like that, are they still covered?
Absolutely, ma'am. USERRA still applies to them. The reason being, Congress wanted to make sure that everyone would be able to do whatever we can for our country, even if we have held our hand up, as opposed to being plucked off of the grid, so to speak. And that's another thing that I'd like to mention. A lot of people, employers, sometimes family members, don't understand that sometimes, depending upon the requirements of our nation, somebody can find out 48 hours before they have to leave that they're going. And that may be the first time that they hear about it. So especially people like their MPs or medical, a lot of these people, they don't know until the last minute that they're going on military duty. So again, I hope that employers will understand that that happens sometimes. But I'm very excited when people do that, and I know that the rest of the country is as well.
Okay.
So volunteering, USARA still applies.
Excellent. Now, what happens if a military member has hit that five-year point? What can they do to alleviate that?
Well, if they are on orders and have to, and it goes over 5 years in order to finish out the orders, and through no fault of their own, they're going over 5 years, then they're probably going to be okay. But if they're about to bump up because of, they have volunteered and they can get their unit to let them out, in other words, to cut their orders short or whatever the situation may be, then they need to do that. But we even had one, I think he was a colonel, that came down to the last minute. Because it is authorized to have the 5 years, you have to get off of active duty, but the 90 days that you would have to request reemployment or whatever the situation would be, that does not include account towards the 5 years. But you do have to end your active duty within that 5 years.
Okay.
Or military duty.
Now, let's say that we have somebody who was not particularly savvy, and he decided that he needed to resign his employment prior to leaving for his military duty, and then he realized that was a really dumb thing. I want to go back to that company when I go back. Does USARA still apply in that case?
Yes, ma'am. You cannot waive your USARA rights. Now, what this service member does not want to do is do something that would have him relieved for cause. For example, start screaming at the employer, and you know, in other words, there are ways that you can end up, a service member can end up harming him or herself. But no, just coming in and saying, I'm resigning, I want to go and help my country, but then coming back within the requirement of time, yes, USARA will apply to that person.
Okay, and they would be reinstated at approximately the same status and level?
With the escalator position,
yeah.
Or one of similar seniority status and pay. The one they would have had they never been gone.
Okay. I'm just going to remind everybody that you're listening to Veterans Radio and that we are talking with Lieutenant Colonel Cindy Norwood today about the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve and USARA, which is the Employment and Reemployment Act for the United States. Now, let's ask one more question a little closer to home for Michigan, which is where Veterans Radio lives and works. Michigan's now a right-to-work state, and there are other right-to-work states in the country. This is employment at will, so the question then is, does USARA still apply in that case?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. USARA actually trumps any other law. It trumps any contract. It trumps union contracts. It trumps any kind of policy. In other words, USARA protects the service member no matter what the state requirements or any other federal requirement would be.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes before we need to go to the break, so I think what we will do now is start our transition toward employer support of the Guard and Reserve. I know that this is an area you know and love. Why don't you tell some people, everybody here, what the vision and mission statement of the ESGR is?
The vision of ESGR is to foster a culture in which all employers support and value the employment and military service of members of the National Guard and Reserve in the United States. The mission is that ESGR facilitates and promotes a cooperative culture of employer support for National Guard and Reserve service by developing and advocating mutually beneficial initiatives, recognizing outstanding employer support, increasing awareness of applicable laws and policies, resolving potential conflicts between employers and their service members, and acting as the employer's principal advocate within the Department of Defense. And one of our paramount missions is to encourage employment of guardsmen and reservists because we bring integrity, global perspective, and proven leadership to the civilian workforce.
And everybody, every state has employer support of the Guard and Reserve. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Also, the District of Columbia, Guam, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. We have almost 5,000 volunteers in all of these committees.
And what do those volunteers do? Just
various things. We have employer outreach where we go out and talk to employers. We can actually train. In fact, I've got a I'm training an employer on USERRA in a few days. So if any employer wants some training, you can call the ESGR 800 number and we can provide that. We also do awards for employers and otherwise work with employers. That's called employer outreach. We have military outreach where we will go to units. If a unit wants to have training, again, they call ESGR, we can help. Obviously, we have an ombudsman. I'm the director of ombudsman for Virginia, and what we do is if there is a situation where either the employer or the service member does not understand the USERRA or somehow we can help mediate, we are mediators for that kind of situation, and we will help the service member and the employer figure out what's best, how best to comply with USERRA. Then we also have the Employment Initiative Program, which basically helps employers and service members who are unemployed hook with the employers who have positions. And of course, as you know, our veterans are the some of the best employees that anybody could ever hope to have.
Terrific. Well, we have about a minute and a half until we need to go to break, and so. I think is it possible to go to break early?
Sure, we can go to break early.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about ESGR and how it relates to USERRA.
Yeah, I want to when we come back, I want to ask a question if you've run up against any resistance from the employers.
Yeah, we're going to.
Okay. You're listening to Veterans Radio. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call here at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825, whether you're an employee or an employer. This is stuff you need to know. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Corporal Larry Maxim, despite numerous severe wounds, continued to defend his position for an hour and a half. Details after this.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. I had crossed that thin line. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
AFC Darrell Willis proved he could be one of us. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES.
Maxim was serving as a fire team leader in Vietnam when the district headquarters came under extremely heavy rocket, artillery, mortar, and recoilless rifle fire from a numerically superior enemy force, destroying a portion of the defensive perimeter. Maxim, observing the enemy massing for an assault into the compound across the remaining defensive wire, instructed his assistant fire team leader to take charge of the fire team and unhesitatingly proceeded to the weakened section of the perimeter. Completely exposed to the concentrated enemy fire, he sustained multiple fragmentation wounds from exploding grenades as he ran to an abandoned machine gun position. Reaching the emplacement, he grasped the machine gun and commenced to deliver effective fire on the advancing enemy. As the enemy directed maximum firepower against the determined Marine, Maxim's position received a direct hit from a rocket-propelled grenade, knocking him backwards and inflicting severe fragmentation wounds to his face and right eye. Although momentarily stunned and in intense pain, Maxim courageously resumed his firing position and subsequently was struck again by small arms fire. With resolute determination, he gallantly continued to deliver intense machine gun fire, causing the enemy to retreat through the defensive wire to positions of cover. In a desperate attempt to silence his weapon,
The North Vietnamese threw hand grenades and directed recoilless rifle fire against him, inflicting two additional wounds. Too weak to reload his machine gun, Maxim fell to a prone position and valiantly continued to deliver effective fire with his rifle. After 1.5 hours, during which he was hit repeatedly by fragments from exploding grenades and concentrated small arms fire, he succumbed to his wounds, having successfully defended nearly half single-handedly.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking about employer and employee rights for those men and women who have been deployed or are in the military. Can they get their jobs back? Our contributing editor this week is Colonel Christine Cook, who is a faculty professor at the U.S. Army War College, and we were just listening to that march, the Sousa March, and I know that Colonel Cook spent a lot of time in Carlisle, Pennsylvania as a child, and is their job now.
Right,
and
right.
Probably heard that song a few times.
I have heard a few times. And I have a daughter who plays French horn and says that Sousa hated French horn because they always got the bat beat in the same note over and over.
Over and over.
But that has nothing to do with what
we're
talking about
right now. Conversation. But I want to remind people, if you want to get in on our conversation, that you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. Or you can go to Veterans Radio at Twitter.com or Veterans Radio at Facebook.com. We are so high tech. It's amazing. So anyway, Colonel Cook, back with your guest.
And my guest is Lieutenant Colonel Cindy Norwood, and she is subject matter expert on employer support of the Guard and Reserve. Now, just before we went to break, Dale brought up the problems, if there are possible problems with employers resisting the rights and regulations of USERRA. So why don't we talk about that right now? How much resistance do you sometimes see?
Well, ma'am, based on the numerous deployments that some of our service members have had to endure since 9/11, there has been some resistance. But I will say this, our employers are great. You know, I realize I'm biased, but I think we have the greatest employers in the entire world. And most of the, almost 90, I would say 95% of the time, what you find is when there's a USERRA violation, that it's just the employer not understanding the federal law, USERRA, or it's a lower level supervisor who does not understand, even when the larger company does. And that's one of the reasons I go out and train. I go train supervisors all the time to be helpful. But when you do have that 5% that say, hey, this is really a hard burden on us, and we're getting tired of the, you know, our person that we really need going on military duty as much as he or she has been going. But what we try to point out is that if it weren't for what our service members do, we wouldn't have our employers, we wouldn't have our jobs, we wouldn't have our great country. So usually after we talk to them and discuss USERRA, it's no longer an issue.
Okay. Now, I know that probably about almost 10 years ago now, our country ushered in the concept of the Army Force Generation Package. And for those who don't know what that is, it is basically for reserves and National Guard a 5 to 6 year rotation of every unit within the structure that we have in order to continue to provide soldiers on an ongoing basis into contingency operations. That would include Iraq or Afghanistan, or it could send people to Germany or to Korea on a rotational basis. Now, have you noticed if this is an improvement with our relations with employers, or does this sometimes detract the concept of having to lose a soldier, your soldier every 6 years?
I think it's very much an improvement. Reason being is that the employer, you know, 95% of the time, they just want to have some kind of pre-warning. And if they know that someone is about to have a scheduled call-up, then they can start thinking about distributing the workload or whatever they need to do. Also, if they know that the person, for example, is going to be gone for a year as opposed to 3 weeks, then they may even start working with a temporary agency or whatever the case may be. So having that type of a situation where you know what's coming, you can prepare, is very important and has been very helpful to employers.
Great. Now, how can ESGR, the group that you work with a lot, how can they help a service member if they have questions about USERRA or believe that his employer may be in violation of the rules?
It's a very easy thing for the service member to do. All they have to do is call 1-800-336-4590. Again, that's 1-800-336-4590. They will end up talking to an expert, such as, well, they won't talk to me, but they will talk to others who are experts on USERRA, and those people will be able to help that service member figure out what the situation is. If it turns out there is a violation and the service member going back and talking to the employer doesn't help, then, again, he or she can call that number and get an ombudsman, which is what I am, a mediator, and we can help if that's necessary.
I also want to jump in here and mention that there is a great website out there also for ESGR. It's esgr.mil, M-I-L. And all that information, a lot of the information that we're talking about is on that site.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, on the other side of the coin, there are the employers. Now, how can ESGR help the employer when he has questions related to USERRA?
Again, by calling the 800 number, those experts also assist employers. And we do that all the time, where an employer will call up and say, you know, I have this service member. He's been gone for 2 years. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do when he comes back. That's why we're there, Christine. Ma'am, we are there to help employers. We're there to help service members. And we're not on anybody's side. That's the great thing about us. An employer can feel very comfortable calling us up and knowing that nothing they say will be repeated, and we will help them in any way we can.
Excellent. Now, I know that ESGR does a lot more than just answering questions about USERRA. That's probably just a little portion of what you do. Why don't you give us a little bit of a spiel for what ESGR can provide to the greater community?
Well, again, we do go out. We will provide USERRA training. We will go, and when the service member advises us that they have a great employer, which there are a lot of those, we go out and provide and give awards, and we will make we actually have a situation where we give even higher awards if an employer is going above and beyond what they need to do under the law. We encourage our service members to put them in for an award, because there's the highest award is the Freedom Award, which is at the national level and is actually given by the Secretary of Defense. So we do that type of thing. We also, again, we have military outreach. ESGR people will go out and talk to all of the units. We try to, in Virginia, for example, and I'm sure Michigan's the same, and across the country, we try to go and visit our units at least once a year. If they need USERRA training, we're there for them for that as well. So anything that we can do to help them. I've talked about the ombudsman. It's a wonderful thing, ombudsman. A lot of times something that could end up being a real problem for both the service member and the employer can be handled within less than an hour just by having a mediator discuss what the law is, what the possibilities are to make everybody happy. I mean, because that's our goal, make everybody happy. And
win-win.
So we weren't very, right, win-win. And, you know, given the situation with our wonderful service member and our wonderful employers, again, about 95% of the time, it's a total win-win situation. And if we can't resolve it, then it would step up to the Department of Labor and go into a different situation, and they can help at that point. But we do end up handling and satisfying approximately 90% of the cases where it's a win-win and everybody's happy. I also talked about our unemployed service members. That's a huge initiative right now. I don't know if you realize that most people don't realize that, especially for our service members 24 and younger, the unemployment rate is approximately 30%. It's staggering that these young men and women come back after defending our country and putting their lives on the line, and then they can't find a job. They can't feed their families. And so where there's a huge initiative for that. But one thing that we do in Virginia, and I bet Michigan has the same type of situation, all you have to do is call ESGR to find out what Michigan is doing or whatever state is involved. We actually in Virginia have a program called Virginia Values Veterans, where we actually help employers understand how to reach out to veterans, why it's best for their bottom line. We're not just trying to get them to be patriotic. We're showing that hiring veterans is one of the best business decisions they can ever make. And so we help them learn how to actually draft their job descriptions so that they won't miss out on the opportunity of having an absolutely outstanding service member as a part of their employment team.
And so what can a soldier do when he's returned or she has returned to find the access to the jobs that are available to veterans?
Well, again, I would go on the ESGR website and get hooked in with that, but there is now a website that's free to both service members and employers. So I encourage employers, I encourage service members, please go on this website because it hooks y'all together. It hooks the service member with the employer and vice versa. It's called h2h.jobs. So if you go on www.h2h.jobs, that is the website where employers who want these fabulous veterans in their employment can put their jobs on that website, and so service members can then go on the website and realize that, hey, these are employers who really want us, who want the type of person that's going to be a great employee that's currently a veteran, you know, guard, reserve, or just off of active duty.
Okay, now I don't want to discount anybody here, but why don't we talk a little bit about, do you know of any companies in particular who seem to do an outstanding job of employer support of the Guard and Reserve?
Wow, I wish you, I would, I have a whole long list that I wish I'd known you were going to ask that question, but your Lockheed Martins, your Honeywells, your Bank of America, your Dominion Resources, a lot of the electric companies, a lot of utilities, they obviously DOD contractors are very good, and we have just an unbelievable amount of great companies that do an unbelievable job with our service members, and we're just proud of all of them.
Right, and I don't, I'm not trying to forget anybody, but one of the things that I do know is that with the Army Force Generation Package, which I mentioned earlier, where there's a 5 or a 6 year rotation, I do know that there have been trucking and transportation companies that have basically coordinated with the armed forces to get people who are trained as truckers, and they basically are trained in the military systems, and at the same time the military is training them for civilian systems, and then it's already in their contract when they get into that particular company that once every 5 or 6 years they're going to be gone.
Absolutely, and the transportation industry has again been one of the best supporters for our military, and they realize that they get somebody that is already trained or receives additional training thanks to the military, and so it's a perfect fit. And we have other industries that really want to have that kind of link. They provide internships. They actually actively try to work with the military to bring those people on board when they get off of military duty.
Okay. Well, we are about to take yet another break, and then we will be back with Cindy Norwood, who is helping us learn more about the Employment Reemployment Act and ESGR.
You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and you can certainly tell that Colonel Cook is a career officer and an Army brat.
Love to march, man. Love to march.
She's the only person dancing to march music. And
got a good beat. You can dance to it.
It's easy, yes. It's very interesting to me also. I mean, I'm surrounded by these higher-ranking women. It's very intimidating for all you guys out there. I don't know. Different time period, I guess.
Just wait till we use our command voice on you.
Oh, I know. We did that one time. This is a quick diversion. We did a program on drill sergeants, and we had a woman who was a drill sergeant, I believe it, down south somewhere. Mm-hmm. And Bob asked her if she could demonstrate what she was doing. She said, I would really like to, but she's holding her two-year-old in her lap, and she said it would traumatize her forever.
Yeah, it probably would.
Anyway, so we've got Colonel Cook on here again with Lieutenant Colonel Norwood. Go.
Okay. Well, we were talking about employers who have done a really outstanding job, but I do know that there is the possibility of nominating your employer for an award. So why don't you tell the people out there exactly what they could do to nominate their company for the awards that you have?
Yes, ma'am. All they have to do is go on the ESGR website, which is, as already mentioned, esgr.mil, and there is a place that it's nice and big and red saying nominate your employer. And when you click on that nominate your employer, it will actually ask you a bunch of information so that we can, in fact, put your employer in for an award. But please, let me point out to our service members, if your employer has done something extra, for example, when you were deployed, sent care packages or called your wife or husband, helped with certain things around the house, you know, did things that USERRA does not require, give you a differential or extra pay, whatever the situation might be, make sure you put in the description every single thing that the employer has done, because that's how it is determined whether the employer gets a higher award. And you may find yourself invited with your employer to Washington, D.C. to accept the Freedom Award, which, of course, it's a wonderful thing for the employer. It's a wonderful thing for the service member. And we love when our service members actually put their employers in for awards. So please do. It doesn't take very long.
Great. And do you know, this might be, again, you know, one of the things where I should have asked you first, but do you know of any companies that have gotten a Freedom Award?
Absolutely. And there are three different sections of Freedom Awards. There are government employers, there are private large employers, and then there are private small employers. So we actually, from Virginia, have had a private small employer that won 2 years ago. And I know that, you know, of course, our big employers, most of our big employers in the country are absolutely wonderful regarding the military. So you will see some superior employers doing unbelievable things. In fact, we have, I'm actually on the awards committee in Virginia, and we have an employer, and I won't mention any, at this point I won't mention any names, but we have an employer that actually provides full pay for 18 months while the service member is on on duty. I think that company's probably in a may be up for the Freedom Award, so
yeah,
we'll
that's,
see.
That's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive, ma'am.
And let me ask the self-serving question, since when I'm not in the military, I am a self-employed writer, but my husband works for an employer, and when we deployed, they did a really nice job of supporting him. Is it possible to nominate somebody like that for an award?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, we are now very much encouraging spouses to nominate their employers. And for several years now, and I'm not sure how long it's been going on, for several years now, we have been actually recognizing those employers. And in Virginia, we actually had a spouse's employer receive our highest award, which is the Pro Patria Award, which is right under the Freedom Award, which is, of course, national.
Okay, great. Now, you talked about USERRA training. So what do military or employers, what do they do in order to get the training?
Well, all they have to do is call the 800 number and request the training. Then it will filter down to wherever the employer needs that person. I mean, for example, if the employer is headquartered in Virginia, for example, even though the service member may be in Georgia, I would probably assist with that training and do the training if they want to have the training in Virginia. Now, if it's in another state, we would probably tap somebody from ESGR in that particular state.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is there anything else that you think that our listenership should know about employer support of the Guard and Reserve or USERRA?
Well, again, with ESGR, we just want everybody to know that we are a resource. We are a resource that's not on anyone's side other than the federal law, and we are out there to help everybody involved to work together to make this country the best that we can be. And so anything that we can do, please let us know. We're only a phone call away. And as far as USERRA is concerned, please understand that the law is there so that things can run smoothly with our civilian employers and with service members and still have the great military that we have. And it allows for our country to have one of the best military, because I'm biased, in the entire world without the expense of having everybody on active duty constantly. So again, with USERRA, we can help with that, ESGR. And if there's ever anything that I personally can do, I'm at the Virginia Attorney General's office, and you can find me online.
Okay. And one other question that I was going to say, and then maybe we can talk about a couple of other little doodads. Since this is a veterans radio program, obviously we have some current members of the Guard and Reserve who listen, but we also have a number of veterans. Is there any contact between the ESGR and or USERRA and the retired veterans?
Okay, as far as retired, now obviously when you say the word veteran, a lot of people don't realize that you can be current Guard and Reserve and be a veteran. Mm-hmm. All you have to have done is been called on to federal active duty and serve the time required and then be released or discharged from active duty under honorable conditions. And then you have a DD-214 and you're a veteran. Now, as far as retired veterans, again, the problem with the word retired is that that's a career military person. So if a person with career is receiving a military retirement, then USERRA actually would not apply. However, if it's someone that's a veteran because they did their ten 10 years, then it may apply in the sense of there cannot be any discrimination based on military duty. So depending upon the situation, it still may apply, but probably not if the person went over that 5 years. But it can happen. ESGR can help figure that out.
Can I just ask a quick question on your site, the Hero to Hire? Can any veteran go on to that?
Absolutely. H2H.jobs, any veteran whatsoever. In fact, we encourage that. even though ESGR focuses on Guard and Reserve, we love all of our guys and girls, and so that's it. Of course, ESGR, it's not just ESGR that handles H2H.jobs, but we are concerned about all veterans. We don't care if you were, Korean War veteran. We want you to go. If you need a job, then we want you to go on to the H2H.jobs.
I think that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And I also want to clarify that if you are a retiree recall, which has happened in the last 10 years, then I would assume that you, Sarah, would apply. You retired and then suddenly were called back on to duty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And because in that situation, you are in the non-career status because you've already done your, you've already finished the career. Even if you were active duty and gone to a company, recalled, and then you, Sarah, would in fact apply to you.
Excellent.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. So we've got about a minute and a half or so. So why don't we talk a little bit about your job, you personally, what you do on the ombudsman side of the house?
Well, I just love my ombudsman, and I love my service members, and I love my employers. So it's a perfect win-win for me because I am the director of some of the greatest mediators, otherwise known as ombudsmen, I think, in the world. Again, I'm biased, but they are absolutely wonderful. These are men and women who volunteer, who take away from their own time, some of them in law firms and some of them, of course, you don't have to be an attorney to be a mediator. In fact, a couple of my very best ombudsmen are not attorneys. But again, they have full-time jobs, and they actually will take their time off. They spend their free time helping employers and service members have a win-win situation regarding their employment. I train these people. I'm considered, when you're the director, you're the only neutral. In other words, I'm the only one that another ombudsman can call up and say, hey, I need help with this case. Tell me everything that's going on. And I can actually sometimes work with them to resolve the situations. But it's a wonderful position to be in, and I'm very excited to be the director of ombudsman for Virginia.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Cindy Norwood, I thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio today. Thank you for all of the wonderful information you have given us regarding ESGR and USERRA. It's been very helpful information, I believe.
Thank you so much, ma'am. It was an honor.
It was our honor.
It was our
honor.
Honor
and our privilege, because we know you're going to be coming back on with Colonel Cook at some point in the future and talking about ethics and
rule of law and
all
kinds of good fun JAG stuff.
I look forward to that, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, Christine, that was fascinating.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of information there, and I want to make sure that people realize that they can just go to their website, that's esgr.mil, and find out all kinds of information, not only as an employer, but as an employee, and it will help them out. And I didn't know all these things. I wish they'd had this, because I was only in the service for 3 years, 7 months, and 2 days, but who counted?
Yeah, right. Obviously not
but,
you.
But was it... weren't jobs to go back to at the time.
Yes.
And I think it would have been, it would have been life-changing, I would guess.
Yep.
But anyway, so thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Veterans Radio. We got some great programs coming up in the future. Colonel Cook will be on again sometime in the next couple of months. We're going to be talking about women in combat and how that's going to change women's careers in the military. And coming up next week, though, is Dwight Zimmerman is going to be on with his At Ease program, and we're going to be talking about, I don't know how many of you recently heard about Staff Sergeant Clint Ramesha, I guess it is, recently received the Medal of Honor, and our guest is going to be ABC News White House correspondent Jake Tapper with his book, The Outpost, and this is where this guy earned his Medal of Honor, is in that book. So tune in next week for Dwight Zimmerman with At Ease here on Veterans Radio, and until then, you are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or the station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.